Brahms's several major works for clarinet date from the end of his career, after his attempt at retirement was thwarted once he heard the clarinetist Richard Mühlfeld in performance during a visit to Meiningen. The first fruits of this new flowing creativity were the trio in A minor for clarinet, cello, and piano, and the quintet in B minor for clarinet and strings, both composed during the summer of 1891. By the time he wrote the quintet, Brahms, who was by nature something of a glass-half-empty type of guy, was deeply pessimistic about the state of human affairs. This sense of despair comes across pretty strongly in some of his pre-retirement pieces, most notably in the cataclysmic finale of the Fourth Symphony and throughout the great D minor violin sonata. The quintet isn't really despondent, but it is marked by a similar strain of resignation and melancholy. Two traits not at all uncommon, it's worth noting, with the Viennese among whom Brahms lived over the last half of his life. From a technical standpoint, Brahms's writing is remarkably distilled and concentrated. As in Mozart's also very late clarinet quintet, not a note here is wasted. And while on the surface of its traditional forms, at least, nothing too disturbing happens, just beneath them there's lots of teeming activity that has far more in common with the musical progressives of the early 20th century than with the musical conservatives with whom Brahms is often lumped. The quintet's first movement is in good classical fashion in sonata form. Its short violin introduction begins almost mid-thought. The clarinet enters after just 7 bars with the first theme. And in it, Brahms manages an extraordinary release of the tension brought on by the pensive and expressively charged opening string gesture. It's almost as though you can hear the emotional stress melting away. After the strict dotted rhythms of a transitional passage, the movement's second theme appears. This is essentially an elongation of the first theme, broadly lyrical and marked espressivo. It leads to a passage of haunting stasis before a concluding section filled with trademarked Brahmsian rhythmic density ensues. The development section draws on all three of the movement's main themes: the flowing introductory material and first statement, the dotted rhythms of the transition, and the broad flowing second theme. Each is addressed in order of appearance, though what's really captivating about this section is the manner in which Brahms addresses the rhythm. He draws a thread that connects between all three themes primarily through processes of fragmentation and variation that deeply illuminate the rhythmic tissue connecting them. Thank you. The quintet's justly famous second movement continues in the same subdued melancholic vein as the first movement, and offers much by way of beauty of melody and virtuosic display. Brahms set the movement up in three sections, the outer two of which feature the powerfully songful melody accompanied by a complex layering of duple, triple, and offbeat rhythmic patterns. In the middle of these lullaby-like sections comes a lengthy contrasting passage that is most strikingly marked by a series of embellishments and runs played by the solo clarinet. On occasion, the clarinet and strings exchange some melodic ideas, but especially for the wind instrument, this is writing of sheer rhapsodic delight. Coming in the midst of this rather wistful quintet, the third movement casts as much of a ray of sunlight as we're going to hear in the piece. The design of this movement is similar to the scherzo from Brahms' Second Symphony, though the first melodic idea sounds a lot like a variation on the scherzo from the first. The initial music we hear in this movement is smooth as glass, but it's suddenly interrupted by a brisk staccato figure that offers a strong contrast. A couple of other ideas come and go before a reprise of the opening theme wraps everything up. Like Mozart's clarinet quintet, the finale of Brahms's is a theme and variations. The construct of the theme is a bit peculiar. There's an initial 16-bar section that is followed by a second 16-bar passage that is then repeated for a total of 48 measures of music. Here is the theme. Each of the five variations follows, again in good classical fashion, the pattern of the theme, though the character of the music varies rather dramatically between each one. Over the fourth and fifth variations, the music begins to recall earlier movements, first the lyrical lullaby of the second movement and the gracefully flowing gestures that comprise the first movement's opening theme. and it's with this reprise of the music of the initial movement that the quintet ends, a masterful execution of a formal design that Arnold Schoenberg, for one, would hail for its progressive musical instinct.